don't know if that's working. There we go. I didn't want you to hear me singing, so. Again, my name's Byron Henbest. I'm with Potter Children's Home and Family Ministries in Bowling Green, Kentucky. And I want to say right off the bat, we appreciate congregations like the one here in Decatur, Alabama. I keep wanting to call you Damascus, Virginia, because I've been to Decatur, Alabama. You've helped us throughout the years, and we appreciate all the congregations that help us. Now, out on the table out there, I have a little display and some notebooks and pens. I've got more down under the table if we run out on top, but I've got newsletters and that type of thing out there if you want to get one of those. Also, I'm going to leave two of these books for your church library. Back in 2014, we celebrated 100 years at Potter Home. And I've had some people say, well, I started there at the beginning. No, I didn't. But my wife and granddaughter put together this book, Pictures from the Past. And we like to leave them at congregations where you can preview a little bit of history of Potter Home. And as I go on into my presentation tonight, you'll learn it's not just Potter Children's Home, but we have some other things that have happened. You know, I've been blessed. I was born in Cassville, Missouri, back in 1952. And all my growing up years, I've been in the church. I've always had Mom and Dad there taking care of me. Now, we moved a lot of different places. But I always had Mom and Dad taking care of me. Now, back in 1966, we moved from Monette, Missouri to Joliet, Illinois. And at high school there, that's where I met my wonderful wife, Barbara. I like to tease her. I say, I moved up north to marry a Yankee. I call her the token Yankee of the family. But we got married back in 1972, and I was an electrician at a plant there in Joliet, Illinois, and I'd been wanting to get into the ministry. I was mainly thinking of preaching. But the director of Schultz Lewis Children's Home in Valparaiso, Indiana, came by our congregation like I'm doing tonight and gave a report, and he said they needed house parents. And my wife and I started as house parents at Schultz Lewis Children's Home with our two little ones back in 1980. We had 8 to 10 boys at first through that 7.5 years. But you know what? That opened my eyes. I could not believe what parents and grandparents did to their own children. I had my own two little ones myself. Now, was I a perfect parent? Probably not, but we took care of our children. My dad took care of us. Barb's parents took care of her. So there's a great need out there. I think we have about 50 children's homes within the Churches of Christ. And we're trying to reach out to these families and give them hope. A lot of the families we serve do not understand Christ the way we understand Christ. They do not understand God because it has not been presented to them. I love what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And this is a message of hope we need to give to the world and to whoever we serve. That once we die, this body passes on. We have a home not made with hands waiting for us. And we as Christians are to be out there and let the lower lights be burning. We're to be out there reaching out to families and sharing with them the good news of Christ. Remember in the Gospels where the disciples tried to keep the little children away from Jesus? What did he say? He said, suffer the little children to come unto me. And as we work with these families, these foster children and these single mothers and their children at Potter Home, we want to bring them before the feet of Jesus. We want to study with them the gospel because it is the gospel that saves. And we don't convert everybody, but we give people the opportunity to understand the true hope that is in Christ Jesus. And I'm going to hope I do this right. The mission of Potter Children's Home and Family Ministries is to be a tool in the hands of supporting churches of Christ and individual Christians to deliver God's justice and mercy to children and families in need. The key thought on that is we want to be a tool in the hands of supporting churches of Christ, individual Christians. Therefore, we do not take any money from the state of Kentucky or the federal government, other than tax exempt. And all our employees at Potter Home, the full-time employees, have to be members of the church, faithful members in a faithful congregation. It's a ministry of the Churches of Christ. And the Potters were members of the church back in the early 1900s when they started this ministry. And we're trying to carry, well, we want to carry on the message of the Lord throughout the years. But we just want to be able to reach out to families in need. There's something else that will come back to me here in a little bit. But we just want to help these families. You ever have a thought just fall out of your head? Oh, we began as Potter Orphan Home and School back in 1914. And when you get, if you look through this book here, and if anybody wants to order, I can get more over here. You know, if anybody wants individuals, if you want me to mail you one, that type of thing. But in 1899, Elton S. Potter, Marion Clinton Potter's only son, only child, bachelor, died of typhoid fever. They believe he contracted it in the Spanish-American War. Well, she wanted to do something in memory of her son, so Mary and Clinton went down to Nashville, Tennessee to Nashville Bible College, which is now Lipscomb University. And believe me, back in 1899 and 1900, that was not an easy trip to make. But anyway, they met a brother down there named Brother James A. Harding. He was working there at Nashville Bible College, and they wanted them to help down there. But the Potters got back to Bowling Green, and they decided they wanted something like that in Bowling Green, Kentucky. And in 1901, Brother James A. Potter and a couple of other professors came down or up to Bowling Green, and they started Potter Bible College. That building you see there is the first. That was Potter Bible College back in 1901. Eventually, in 1912, I believe it was, Brother Potter or Brother Harding decided to retire from that and go back into preaching the gospel like he likes to do. Like, you know, he loved preaching the gospel. A year or so after he left, the college started failing, so they opened up Potter Orphan Home and School. And the first part of the orphan home at that time was in that building where they divided it up into houses for the kids. I don't know how many folks here know that Brother James A. Harding is buried in Bowling Green, Kentucky. His wife and two children out at the cemetery out there. As a matter of fact, we'll have groups come in from Harding University doing a tour around, and they'll go out and see Brother Harding's grave. So I don't know how many folks knew that, but that's in the book here. We got some pictures of a 1907 college class of Brother Harding's and that type of stuff, and you can just see a bunch of those old pictures. Back in 1945 or so, 44, and we got a picture of that from the newspaper. We had a great big fire on campus. It burnt down that building and a bunch of other buildings around. And the big long dorm building that we have now, I don't know how many's been by Potter now, but was built to replace that in 1945. We still have that standing. That was made into a big boys' dorm, little boys' dorm, big girls, little girls. And just remember this, a dorm mom might have had 15 kids by herself, you know, taking care of them. So things were different back in those days. We've served over 7,000, 8,000 children throughout the years. I think we're going to have to go up on that number. We serve about 60 to 75 children a year. I think we have around between the single mothers, children, and foster care, and off-campus foster care, and some other areas in that. We serve about, we have about 25, 30 children right now, plus about 11 or 12 single moms. We just had one come in, I think, a while back and one leave, so I can't keep track of my mind all the time. But we're trying to help the kids there. We provide Christian counseling on campus. We have some members of the church who are counselors that come and work and help us there. We are, however, in our family services department, we need some folks. We're kind of short of staff in there, and they may be looking for another counselor and that type of thing. If you are interested in helping there, that'd be great. If you have anybody that might be interested in a job. We've got some jobs openings in our fundraising department. We call that OCS, Office of Christian Stewardship. We're needing a gentleman that can drive around doing what I'm doing, picking up coin banks, cans, and speaking at churches. and that type of thing. So we have just different things that we need there on campus. We provide children a Christian home-like environment. This house you see here is Riley House. That's the boys' house. You see the dining room, kitchen there, and you see the living room area and one of the boys' bedrooms. When Barb and I moved there back in 1992, we ended up in Toddy House. We had eight girls and my son Brandon, who just started high school, and we would sit down at the dining room table and eat together as a family. And we just want to provide them with a nice home-like environment. A lot of them did not come from that. We provide a safe place for the children and families of single-parent families to live. We have you see kids playing on the playground there. We have our playground. Somebody donated a bunch of playground equipment a couple of years ago, and kids can go out there and be safe and play. They got a big fence around it. So we have a good facility for the kids to be protected back there. And when I get to that picture, I like to assure everybody we do not bury the children when they misbehave. That's three single-parent boys. The one redhead above the boy that's buried there is his brother. You ever hear of Dennis the Menace? That boy that's buried, he was kind of like Dennis Menace times three. Of course, when I was his age, I never did nothing wrong. But he was always kind of in trouble. But we just like the kids to have fun and be safe, the single-parent kids and the foster kids. Our children are referred through private and public sources. This congregation might know of a single mom that needs help. You might refer to our ministry. You might know a family whose child needs to go into foster care. So you can let them know, because we have a private foster care. Like I said, we don't work with the state of Kentucky's foster children. So if you know of anybody, you can refer them to us. Also, in the area, the social workers, the court system and all that know of our ministry, and they may refer a single mother or some folks seeking foster care for their children, private foster care, they point them to us. We have a good reputation in the community. So that's how we get a lot of our folks that our children and families that we serve. The goal is for reunification of the family whenever possible. When Barb and I moved there back in 92, we became house parents at Toddy House. We met a young lady, 13-year-old Melanie. She's a Puerto Rican Indian girl. Her father is a drug dealer. Her mother is a prostitute. There's about 10 or 11 children in that family. Now, her father had died when we first met Melanie, but her mother lived in a real bad part of town in Nashville and was continuing in drug stuff, so she wasn't able as a child to be reunited with her mother. Instead, they would have supervised visits for her. Melanie was one of these children that was totally mistreated. For a while, I couldn't even hug Melanie. She wouldn't let a man hug her because her older brother mistreated her through her younger years. I talk about the story of Melanie because Melanie was blessed by congregations like this. Melanie was baptized when she was 18. She's the first one out of that whole family to graduate high school. She went and got a cosmetology degree at one of the colleges there in town. And she cut hair for the longest time, and she works for the school system now, helps them. But as she become an adult, Melanie now can go down and see her mom and her brothers and sisters and help them with her kids and that kind of stuff because she's grown and matured. She stayed out of drugs. She's in her 40s now. She don't like me telling her that, but she's in her 40s. And she's a wonderful young lady. When Barb and I moved out of Toddy House, we took Melanie and Tina with us as foster kids. And Melanie, when we finally bought a house, moved off campus with us, her and Tina. And she grew up. She's like our third child, Tina, our fourth. So she's a very precious young lady. And the church really helped her in her life. You ever look at a denominational building and see pictures of Jesus Christ on the wall? Now, again, I don't want anybody to raise their hand and tell me, how many knows what Jesus Christ actually looked like? I don't think anybody does. See that man up there hugging that child? That's what Christ looks like. Christ is seen where? In us. As we reach down and serve others. As we reach down and help others. Now that happens to be Ralph Brewer. He's the director of Potter Children's Home and Family Ministries. Him and his wife Geneva. We met them back in 1984 at Schultz Lewis. They've dedicated their lives to children. And Ralph and Geneva are a wonderful role model for members of the church. Now please don't call Ralph and say that I said he was Christ, okay? To me, that's just an illustration of how we reach out and people see Christ instead of through a picture. Religion pure and undefiled with God and the Father is this, to look after orphans and widows in their tribulation, unspotted, to keep himself from the world. James 1:27. That's our main scripture. We reach out to those that need help. And we need the help of the congregations to be able to do this. With your prayers and support to the ministry of Potter Children's Home, you have a part in help feeding, clothe children with many problems, children of any race and any background. All the racial tension we have in the world today, who causes that? It sure is not God. Man does. God does not care where we were born, who we were. I'm an elder at University Heights Congregation downtown Bowling Green. For a while, we had a Latino ministry. Our Latino minister from Nicaragua baptized a bunch of Cubans, and we were all worshiping together. It doesn't matter where we come from. Christ died for everyone. And we all can trace our roots back to Adam and Eve, then Noah's family after the flood. We're all one. And we want to help and to serve everybody. Any race and any background, a single mother or a child being placed at Potter, they don't have to have the background of being in the churches of Christ. But if you're a single mom or if you're a child coming in, you will be attending church. And when they privately place a child in foster care, the parents or whoever's placing the child understand that, and the single mothers understand that. Because again, we want to bring them before the feet of Jesus. And how do you do that? By studying this. So that's what we want to do at Potter with your help. Now, this is our on-campus foster care ministry. When Barb and I started back in 92, it was called residential care. Here you see, I met a guy by this name a minute ago, Gene Page and his wife Judy. They were house parents there at Toddy House. There's Gene and Judy with their six girls at that time. Barb and I were house parents in that house too. But we had eight girls at the time. Gene and Judy are retired now and live in Florida. But I like to bring people's attention to... Can you see that dot up there, that little girl there? The one above Judy? That's little Amy up here. Amy was a true orphan. But the sad thing is, as a teenager, Amy's adoptive parents deserted her. And Amy came to Potter Home. And the wonderful thing about Ralph and Geneva Brewer is they took her, they had three girls of their own under their wing. They ended up adopting Amy. She's a graduate of Freed Hardeman University in a social work degree. And she married Cash Wilson, I don't know how many years back. And she just gave birth about 3 days ago to her second daughter. And the church helped Amy through her struggling time. Can you imagine being deserted by your own adopted parents? And Ralph and Geneva adopted her. And that's one of their, that's their fourth daughter. Like Tina and Melanie moved in with us. So, but I like folks to see little Amy there. You'll see her a little bit later too. Each of the foster houses can have up to six children in the house with the couple. Remember I told you one dorm mom might have 15 kids? Well, the laws have changed throughout the years. We don't get any money from the state of Kentucky, but we have to be licensed. So you can only have when Barb and I were house parents, you could have 8 kids. And then we had our son, so actually we had 9. But under private foster care we're under, you can only have 6. Now, if a child turns 18 and is still in high school, as a foster child there, he's then counted as an adult, so you can get another child in there. But that's what we do there. What was I going to say about foster parents? Oh, we went to the state of Kentucky, I don't know, 10 or 12 years ago, and told them we'd take foster children from the state for free. You know what they said? No, you need to sign a contract with us. In other words, give them our per diem. Then when we tell these children, which we will tell them, that marriage is between a man and a woman, and they're going to be going to church, the state can't really interfere because we're not getting any money from them. That's why we stay away from the state of Kentucky or the federal government, because we want to help these kids. We want to teach them the gospel. Here you see a bunch of pictures of different kids we've had through the years. The kids can range from 6 to 18 years of age in the foster care. The family setting allows the child to deal with, be supported while dealing with life issues. Our Melanie had anorexia real bad. She was skin and bones, and we were able to work her through that through counseling and through having a support unit within the household. So we like to be able to have that for the kids there. Up until about 1988 or 89, we had cafeteria staff where everybody would go over in the evenings and eat their meals there. But they decided to put the kitchens in the houses. And when Barb and I had the girls, she had the menus down the hallway, and she'd go down and show the girls, and she'd take them in the kitchen and show them how to cook. And that's what we did. We sit down as a family when we could, and we eat supper or lunch or whatever during the summer. Here you see Sharon up there cooking with one of the boys, making breakfast in Riley House. And there's Judy Page with a couple of the girls working on desserts. So we just want these kids, these young people, men and women, to learn how to take care of themselves. And we want to be like a family unit. Now, I know nobody in this room disagrees with that. We want each child to experience a positive home life experience. I remember a young girl, she's about back in 94, 95, I can't remember, Roger Wood was the director at that time. She came in, she was going to be placed into the residential care, we called it at that time. She went into the office with Roger, and she told him that she was an atheist. Well, she went over to Riley House, which at that time was a girl's house, because we had 2 girls' houses. And within a couple of months of going to church and studying with the house parents there, she was baptized into Christ. And she went out with a youth group to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania area, and did a VBS and helped out there. And she really, you know, carried her Bible all the time. But when she came to Potter, she was an atheist. But I remember one time talking about the positive home life experience. The girls in her house were complaining because of our strict dating policy. We have a strict dating policy. She looked at them and said, "Look, when I was home, I could leave on Friday night and not come back till Monday. And my mom didn't care where I was. But these folks here, they love you." She didn't experience the positive home life experience at home. But Potter, she received that because of the churches and the individuals helping Potter home and the house parents that she had at that time and who brought her into Christ Jesus. We want each child to experience a positive home life experience. Each family has a 15-passenger van to go around as a family would do. We'd take our girls. We'd save up for vacation. We went to Virginia. We've done different things. I like to tease my wife. One time we spent 2 weeks, me and 8, 9 women in that van by myself. My wife and 8 girls. But it was fun. We went to Washington, D.C. before all 9/11 and all that stuff. But we were able to enjoy that as a family. I remember back in the old day, they had a big bus that said Potter Orphan Home and School. And a man came by one day who was there at Potter back in the 80s. He said they'd gone roller skating. the Potter kids and all that at the roller skating rink. And the director came up and got on the mic and said, "Will all the Potter orphan home children come to the bus?" They had to all walk out and get in that bus. "It's kind of embarrassing," he said to them. "We want these kids to believe, and we want them to understand they are part of a family. And we do things as a family unit. That's why we have our own, each house has a, we have Toddy House, a girl's house, and Riley House, a boy's house. And we are looking for house parents in the girl's house right now. And we're going to be looking for house parents in the boy's house because the house dad there just became in charge of the family services folks. So we are looking for those positions also, house parent positions. And you're provided the house and, you know, salary and that type of stuff and benefits. And if you know anybody interested in that, that'd be great. Our children attend local public schools. We do have some, however, that attend the Foundation Christian Academy. That's a Church of Christ school, 1st through 12th grade. It's run through members of the church. All the people that work there have to be members of the church. And we have 4 or 5 children going over there. They're helping us with that right now. I wish eventually we could get all our kids going there because they have memory verses. They study the Bible and the ABCs. They teach them math, reading, math, and, you know, all that stuff. Reading, writing, math. I keep wanting to say arithmetic, but that's math. But the rest of our kids go to the Bowling Green public schools, which we have a pretty good school system. We still have prayers at graduation and stuff like that. But that's where the kids go to school. We have some off-campus foster care. We've had some house parents that moved off campus, like Barb and I, that took kids with them. So we have 2 families right now that have some kids off campus that they're working with, and everything applies to them. They get counseling, and we help with them also. So we have those 2 parts of the ministry. Our single-parent family ministry, we started that back around 1989, I believe. And as we all know, divorce, desertion, and death have left many in our society as single parents. They're under financial and emotional strain, and they need a lot of help, folks. Our Single Parents Alliance for Raising Kids helped meet this great need. We call it SPARK for short. I want to thank that we put a spark into their lives. We provide single-parent families a safe and nurturing environment while they get back on their feet. We encourage single parents to make their children the primary focus. And this ministry allows single parents the opportunity to return to school or learn a vocation. These parents, when they come, they have to have a criminal background check like every employee at Potter. When they come, they have to have that. They understand that they will be required to be attending a congregation, a church, and we'll keep track of that. We'll be studying with them. Now, we can't force them, obviously, to become Christians, but we can teach them the gospel. And a lot of the mothers, none of the mothers I know of, have complained about that. They like going to church and being around others and that type of thing. We know that 23.6% of children in U.S. come from fatherless homes, and children living in single mother households have 46% poverty rate. But you know, that's not just a problem we have today. That's been throughout the centuries. Moms having to take care of their children by themselves. We had a single mom come to us from Franklin, Kentucky. Her name was Christine. Christine had 3 daughters. She was caught up into the drug stuff. She was into drugs. I like to say, I say she's fallen on the roadway of life. But Tyree Chapel Church of Christ outside of Franklin, Kentucky did not pass her by like the New Testament story of the priest and the Levite. They saw her. They knew what kind of trouble she is in. They picked her up. They studied with her. They worked with her. And they baptized her into Christ Jesus. And they let her know about this ministry. And Christine came to us. She first got her GED. Then she went and graduated community college with a 2-year degree in computer technology. Then she moved back after 3 years back to Franklin, bought a house through Habitat for Humanity. And she had her two younger daughters with her at that time because the older daughter had gotten into trouble in drugs and was having struggles there too. But my point to that was we put a spark back into her life. And she was able to graduate college and go back in the community. And that was wonderful. I love Christine. She's a wonderful young lady. Okay. That big dorm building we had single parent apartments in it, but now we're eliminating those because we started building new buildings on campus. This building here is the first building we built in 40 years. It's called the triplex. The two apartments on each side are for single mothers. We have a couple of single moms living in there. And that's for a mentoring family to live there, a retired Christian couple. And we are looking for one in this house. We don't have a retired couple there. But each of those apartments have three bedrooms because we've had moms with four and five kids. And the mentoring apartment has three bedrooms too. Anybody ever hear of Kenny Perry? He's a golfer. He's a big donor to Potter Home. He goes to Franklin Church of Christ. About 6-7 years ago, we named this the Perry House in honor of Kenny Perry. So that's the Perry House. And we had a fundraising campaign, a capital campaign. We raised the money, we built that and paid for it. And then Taylor House, which used to be the boys' house, we gutted that out and we made a triplex there. And we have two moms in there. And we do have a mentoring family in that apartment, in that place. Then here is our first quadplex we built in 2013. We had a fundraiser for that. We raised enough money to build that. It has four apartments. The middle apartment here is for the mentoring family. Howard and his wife, he's a maintenance supervisor, are the mentoring family there. And we have three girls in these three young ladies in these apartments here. So we're moving people out of that old building into the new buildings. Now, hit the wrong button. There's a diagram. Here's the front. That's the old dorm building, the front office, our OCS fundraising building. That's a 1950s airplane hangar. It used to be the gym, but that's our office now. There's our gym there. There's Toddy House there for the girls. That used to be Taylor House. That's a triplex. And that's Riley House. And then there's that triplex I was telling you about. And the quadplex there. And we had a will come in a couple of years ago. And we just built a new quadplex here. It's called the Row House. We have three parents in there. And we do have a mentoring family. And we're planning on building, I call this our back 40. But it's actually 18 acres or so. We have where we can put more apartments up. And can you continue to help? The point is, too, that we don't owe any money to those houses. We've had wills come in. And people donate toward the building of those houses, and that's what we do. Anybody ever hear of, what's his name? Turtle Man on Animal Planet? He goes around capturing coyotes and turtles. And I don't know if you remember him. But he came out to Potter Home about 8 or 9 years ago in the cat killing episode. The first part of this episode about a lady whose cats are getting killed by a coyote, and he went in there and grabbed that coyote and dragged it out. He's kind of a crazy guy. But at Potter, we had a couple of skunks running around, and in the video, in the show, it has one of our single parent little girls that said, "I thought it was a kitty cat. I went to pet it, and it sprayed me, you know." Well, Turtle Man and his people went down into a, is down, oh, blow here, the new quadplex, a big drainage system. They captured a couple of skunks down there, and his crew went down a manhole to get them, and he captured the skunks, and they all got sprayed. But that was a pretty cute show if you ever go to Animal Planet. I think it's Turtle Man. But he came and rescued the children at Potter Children's Home from the skunks. Him and Lolly the dog. She got sprayed too, and she wasn't happy. But that's pretty neat. Our transitional living ministry, this has changed since Barb and I started there. This is for the kids that really don't have family after they graduate high school, whatever. They could not live in the houses, in the foster houses when Barb and I were there. So we had in the old dorm building, male and female side, and we were in charge of that. And the kids are going to school and that type of thing. We want to help young people to develop the financial, social responsibility as they work or complete vocational training or attend college. And living with the mentoring family helps. But under the new foster care things, we can have those kids that have graduated high school, 18 as an adult, still live in the house. And they can be going to college or whatever vocational training they're getting. And we've had kids do that. And we just want to help those kids do that. 50% of those who don't get help end up living on the streets or in prison. So that's what the transitional is. Our Christian counseling ministry, we, as I told you before, we provide counseling for the children and foster care ministry, single parent ministry. The counseling is provided to them. Of course, the goal of counseling is to restore the family unit whenever possible. Many churches, individuals support Potter Children's Home and Family Ministries. Here's some of the reasons they get involved. In 2016, an estimated 676,000 children were victims of maltreatment. These are studies from 16. 74.6 child fatalities were neglected children. 44.2% of child fatalities were in 16 were physically abused children. Lack of adequate housing and financial struggles are among the major risk factors for child maltreatment. What does the scripture say about Satan? It says he's like a roaring lion roaming about seeking whom he may devour. And who's he going to... You know, out in the desert, out in the jungles of Africa, you see a lion chasing out after the herd of gazelle. Who's he go after? He goes after the weak. Satan goes after those that have no hope. They don't understand what we have to give them, to share with them about Christ and the loving Creator. And that's what we want to do. Out there on the table, we have some envelopes that says Way to Remember on them. That's the way you can give a gift to Potter in memory of a loved one who's passed from this life, or an honor gift, a way of remembering loved ones' anniversary, Mother's Day, etc. After you receive your memorial honor gift, Potter sends a letter and personalized card to the person you wish to acknowledge. Remember I was talking about Christine? There she is graduating with her 2-year degree and her 2 girls from a community college connected with Western University. Okay, we have a sponsorship program that's a hands-on approach to supporting the children at Potter. People take kids' names for birthdays. They get kids' names for Christmas. We have what we call our Christmas runs. They get names of children or single moms and get sent a list and we pick up the gifts, that type of stuff. There's just many different ways to help Potter Home. That's a better pick. That's Potty House there a few years back. And as you see, I'm in this van here. That's me and David Hamilton on this side. Kevin Blaylock, I think he visited you last year, but he had a counseling degree and he works in counseling now. And we are looking for a man to be able to do these trips on the road. He has to be able to pass a physical like a CDL driver, because in 15 I got ticketed because I didn't have that and we didn't have a DOT number. Now when we have a trailer on the back of our truck, we have to be doing log books and stuff like that. So if you know anybody interested, that'd be great. And somebody rudely said that was the Three Stooges. I think they called me Mo, him, Larry, and him Curly. I don't remember. But we come up and pick up commodities. Tonight I'm picking up coin banks here. This morning I picked up about 20 tubs of commodities Tanner Church had collected. So that's how churches help us. Back in the back also is a hands of service card. It says hands of service. It's a way you can give your hands of service to those at Potter Home. You can give monthly, bi-monthly. There's a card in the envelope like that. And you just check what you want to do. And that helps our kids at Potter. This little girl's an adult, married adult now, and Brianna, and that's my puppy, Abraham, that we had back in those days. He's been gone about 7 years now. But that's one of the single-parent girls from a ways back. How blessed is he who considers the helpless, the Lord will deliver him in a day of trouble, Psalm 41:1. It has three methods of giving on the back. If you want to give a monthly, you can have it taken out of your checking account. That's called the e-plan. You just fill out the information on the back and send a canceled check, and Elena will take care of that. You can do that monthly or one time with your credit card. Or if you just want to do a check or cash each month, when we send you a receipt, a thank you, we'll send you a return envelope for your next gift. So that's a couple of... And then you have these different websites you can go to. Not all the Kroger works on that, but they'll give a portion to Potter if you sign up for Potter Children's Home. The Lord protects the strangers, who supports the fatherless and the widow, but He thwarts the way of the wicked, Psalm 146:9. I remember this is Christine and her two girls. I was telling you about them earlier. About 10 years ago, 11 years ago, time passes by so fast, it's hard for me to remember. But in October, I heard Christine was in the medical center in Bowling Green. Went up to visit her. 42 years old, she'd been diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer. And the prognosis was not good for Christine. She's going to have to take radiation and chemo and all that stuff. And from October to February the next year, Potter people were helping the church in Franklin, Tyree Chapel, just different folks helping her out. But I heard she was back in the medical center in February of the next year. Bill Rutherford and I, he was a maintenance supervisor at the time, went up to visit and read Scripture and pray with her. Now, we weren't the only ones. A bunch of other people went up, but I remember our visit. And Christine... She didn't have a lot of hair left because of all the treatments. But I remember this, and it grabbed at my heart. She was in tears. She was crying. She was happy. You know what she told me? You know why she was happy? She was happy because she was in Christ Jesus. She said that to me and to Bill. And who was responsible for that? Tyree Chapel, Church of Christ. Because they did not let the fact that she's in drugs stop them from reaching out to her. Christine went home and died 3 days later. But she died in the Lord because that one little church didn't turn their back on her. I talk about her in memory of Christine because you helped make a difference in her life. I enjoyed Christine. She used to mow the yards for Potter with the tractor, and I always tease her that she missed a spot. And she'd look at me, "No, I didn't, Byron." She was a wonderful young lady. But to me, that's the effect that we have on people's lives as we become the light. And we share, and Christ is seen within us, and we become that light talked about in Matthew chapter 5. We're a light to the world. And again, I want to thank all of you for helping Christine through her years. We have our fall festival in the fall. The last couple of years, because of COVID, we hadn't been able to do what we normally do. But we have rides out there for the kids. This last September, we were going to have the live auction out in a tent on the outside the gym. But because of weather, we weren't able to do that, so we had an online auction. But this is in the gym when we have them in the gym. That's our big auction in the gym. We'll probably have 1,500, 2,000 people come on that day. And we just do a little, have food groups come in, different congregation bring food booths, stuff like that. We have a silent auction out in the gym. And our sales, they're in the gym. So, like I said, the last couple of years have been hard to do all that. Anybody remember Jim Bill McIntyre? I think he started 20th Century Christian. There's Jim Bill, some of the kids. He was a board member emeritus at Potter Home. And here's some of the girls at a football, or I guess that would be a football game, with a Tennessee guy in front of them. We're the home of Western. I don't know why they didn't have a Western guy in front of them, but I don't know if it was a Western gang. But I appreciate all that you folks do. I don't know what time it is. Oh, 6:02, I better hurry up. Thank you so much for everything you do. I'd like to have a little prayer, then I'll give the invitation. Our dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the congregation here in Decatur, Alabama, for their support for Potter Home throughout the years. And I pray that you be with them in all that they do, all their mission fields and different things that they do from this congregation, Father. I pray that they be successful. And I pray that you be with us at Potter, that we always do everything in accordance with your will. It's through your Son's name we pray. Amen. I'd like to share during invitations a couple of thoughts from this Psalm 37. Because we live in a world where life is difficult on each and every one of us, isn't it? And I love what the psalmist says. He says, "Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. For they soon shall be cut down and wither as a green herb." First, he says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the delights of your, or the desires of your heart. We need to trust in the Lord. We need to die to our sins. We need to confess and be buried in baptism, be resurrected with Him in newness of life. Then the writer says, commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it forth to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. As I said before, it's Christ seen in us. We need to trust in Him and commit our lives to Him. Then finally, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings the wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger, forsake wrath. Do not fret, it only causes harm. So we're told to rest in that knowledge that God is there for us. And not fret, because worrying about things can cause ulcers. And like I said before, even as Christians, we have things in this world that worry us. Remember a man named Saul on the road to Damascus to persecute the church? And a great light shined down around Saul. And Saul said, Lord, Lord, who art thou? He said, I am Jesus Christ, whom thou persecutest. Then he told him, you go to Damascus, and there it will be told you what you must do. And I'm pretty sure Saul, the 3 days he was there, waiting for Ananias, was praying. And I'm pretty sure he believed in Christ. Ananias came to him, healed him of his blindness, and said, Brother Saul, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away your sins. That is the gospel. And Paul tells Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, starting in verse 6, for I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. He's talking about his death. He's going to be martyred for the faith. He says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Paul put his trust in the Lord. He committed his life to the Lord. And he rested in that knowledge. And he says here, he has a crown awaiting him. And that's what we can all look forward to. This evening I ask, if you've not given your life to the Lord by dying to your sins, confessing his name, dying to your sins, and being baptized, do so tonight, because tomorrow may not come. And if you are in the Lord's body, but you seem to have lost that first love, come back to Him tonight. Rededicate your life to Him. And you have opportunity to do so as together we stand and sing the invitation song.